الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. وقال: إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders, علماء الكرام, brothers, الحمد لله, for the last few days we are hearing the glad tidings of the arrival of Zilhijjah, that month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen from among the months of the year and selected for this great act of Hajj. The virtues of the 10 days of Zilhijjah expounded in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَفْضَلُ أَيَّامِ الدُّنْيَا أَيَّامُ الْعَشْرِ. The best days in the entire world are these 10 days of Zilhijjah. Why are they the best days? Various reasons are mentioned by ulama kiram. Firstly, they are part of the ayyam ashurul hurum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created 12 months. From the 12 months, Allah ta'ala has made 4 months sacred. Zilqa'dah, Zilhijjah, Muharram, 3 consecutive months, and then Rajab. These are 4 months that Allah ta'ala has made sacred. More excellence, more virtue in these 4 months. For what? For carrying out good deeds. A person carries out good deeds in these months, he gets more sawab. And obviously, adversely, if a person carries out sin, then he becomes more sinful. Allah Ta'ala, through His grace and mercy and favor, has given excellence to places, to people, to time, to actions, so that we can gain more reward. We can get more closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given excellence to places, the Haramain, Sharifain, Baytul Maqdis. Go there, extra sawab, multiplied by 100,000, multiplied by 50,000. And Allah Ta'ala has given excellence to time, month of Ramadan, 10 days of Zilhijjah, Friday in the day of the week. Similarly, Laylatul Qadr, in the nights, Shabi Barat, the last portion of the day, in the morning, the time of Tahajjud. These are times and periods that Allah Ta'ala has given excellence. Then Allah Ta'ala has given excellence to actions. Whoever goes out in the path of Allah in jihad, whoever goes out learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are actions. Whoever goes out helping the poor and destitute, whoever goes out to visit the sick, and these are such actions that bring enormous and great amount of rewards. So this is the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has shown us these actions. Through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are shown which are the actions that carry great sawab, which are the days that carry great sawab, which are the places that carry great reward and sawab. It's for us now to take advantage of these opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. So we hear that the 10 days of Zilhijjah are the best days of the dunya. Some people say even better than Ramadan. How? They say because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that for the fast of every day, ta'adalu siyama kulla yawmin siyama sana. Fast of every day brings the reward of fasting for one whole year. And ta'adalu qiyama kulla laylatin bi qiyami sana. Standing in worship, ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is equivalent la bi qiyami sana, but bi qiyami laylatil qadr. Or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you get the reward of laylatil qadr for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every night in these 10 nights. Laylatul Qadr, you get in Ramadan, we don't know which night it is, but here, you get the reward of standing in Laylatul Qadr for every night a person stands in Ibadat. That's why they mentioned that some ulama kiram never used to switch the lights off in the house in these nights. Some of them used to make etikaf. Some of them used to say that each day is equivalent to 1,000 days. And from this 10 days also Allah Ta'ala has made the 9th day, the Yawmul Arafah, which is Hajj. One riwayat comes, Al-Hajj Arafah. What is Hajj? Hajj is Arafah. To get to the Maidan Arafah, that is Hajj. That is equivalent to 10,000 days, some ulama mentioned. So these are great and valuable days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And what are these days for? Big days. Normally when you say big days, what does it mean? Does it mean the sunset will be much later, sunrise will be much earlier, the day will be big? No, big means virtuous, sacred, excellent, more valuable. More valuable for what? For ibadat and worship. On the tradition, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are no days that are more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he must be worshipped therein than these 10 days. In other words, we are asked to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Companions asked, O Prophet of Allah, even jihad. Jihad is the greatest of ibadahs, where a person gives his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes. In these days to make ibadat, in these days, is more virtuous than jihad also. Except for that person that goes out with his wealth and goes out with his life and wealth and doesn't return. He becomes martyred and shaheed, the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously he got more excellence. But other than that, that person that makes ibadat in these 10 days, more virtuous than that person that even goes out for jihad. Now when it comes to ibadat, we are created for ibadat. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ We have not created insan and jinnat, but so that they may worship me. Ulama explained worship, لِيَعْبُدُونَ لِيَعْرِفُونَ So they come to recognize me. We recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the ibadat that we do of Allah ta'ala, through the worship of Allah. That is true recognition of Allah. If we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way we are commanded to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we say in every salat. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ Only you do we worship and only you do we ask for assistance and help. Our worship is solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's for no one else. That's why لَا تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا One of the conditions أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا That we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and we don't ascribe anything whatsoever as partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Zat of Allah, in the being of Allah, and the attributes of Allah. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is one and alone. And we believe in all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we don't fear anyone like we fear Allah. We don't honor anyone like we honor Allah. We don't love anyone like we love Allah. We don't trust anyone like we trust Allah. We don't put our dependence on anyone like we put our dependence on Allah. These are all exclusively for the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe in the oneness of Allah and we believe also in the attributes and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cure, nothing else can cure. Allah ta'ala can give honor and respect, nothing else can give honor and respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause our destruction, nobody else can cause our destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can put our entire trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on nobody else. So all these attributes go with believing in Allah, in the Zat of Allah, also in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is part of our ibadat. That is why when it comes to ghairullah, when it comes to ghairullah, when people take things other than Allah and they begin to worship them, turn all their trust and their love, dependence upon those things, then we'll find the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the tongue of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ لِمَا تَعْبُدَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ Oh, you are worshipping those things لا ينفعكم شيء ولا يضركم that cannot benefit you, that cannot harm you. These things other than Allah cannot benefit you and cannot harm you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one verse of the Holy Quran, يا أيها الناس ضرب مثل فاستمعوا له O people gather, Allah ta'ala has cited an example for you that these things that you are worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are things that you worship other than subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot benefit you, cannot harm you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَسْتُبُمُ الظُّبَابُ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا لَا يَنْقِذُوا مِنْهُ If a fly takes something away from them, from these things other than Allah, then they cannot retrieve it. ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ Those people that are going to seek the assistance, they are also weak, and those people from whom assistance is sought, they are also weak. يَسْلُبُهُمُ الظُّبَابُ شَيْئًا مِّنْهُ لا يذكثوا منه ولو اجتمعوا له. يا أيها الناس ضرب مثل فاستمعوا له، إن يسلموا ذبابه شيئا لا يستنكذوا منه. If a fly takes something away, then you cannot retrieve it and take it back. Even a thing like a fly takes something away from these ma'buds, غير غير الله, they cannot retrieve it and take it back. يخلقكم وفاس کی چھٹی ہے نہیں سے پہلے يستغم الضباب شيئا لا يستنفذوه منه. If the fly takes away something from these things that are other than Allah, they cannot retrieve it and take it back from them. And some places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's like those people that have taken the taken what? Spider who has taken the spider's web. They have taken a spider's web and they are seeking refuge in the spider's web. And the spider's web, you know, is how weak it is. In the Adafal, the Baytul Ankabut, الذين اتخذوا من دون الله أولياء كمثل الأنكبوت. Those people that have taken people or things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's like a spider that has taken a web for its protection. And the weakest of houses, Ankabil Buyut, other for Buyut is what? The spider's web. So everything, when Umar Panpur after is to mention, he says, all these things you see, this power, that might, and that country, etc., it's all like spider's webs. He says, what happens to a spider's web? Doesn't come to the broom, one sweep he gives, everything is gone. Everything is gone. And that's what you see. When the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, a little bit of shaking, a little bit of earthquake, a little bit of fire, etc., everything is destroyed. So the Qudrat and power is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In hukmu illa lillah, Qudrat, power, that's why reliance of a mu'min is only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say this in every rakat, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only you do we worship and only you do we seek for help. Every rakat we say it. Nobody else. Yes, outwardly you may use something, but you don't put your dependence on those things. Why? They have no power, they have no might, they can do nothing. So our ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that these 10 days are so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no other day is ibadat liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than on these 10 days. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions some form of ibadat in the virtues in these 10 days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions one hadith that the fast of each day is equivalent to a fast of 1 year. Meaning that we should observe fasting in this day. In these 10 days, we should fast. That is a great form of ibadat. It is mentioned that fasting opens up the doors of all other forms of ibadat. That's why you experience, especially in the month of Ramadan, first in the state of fasting, then it's easy for him to read more on the nafil namaz, to make tilawah, to make zikr, etc. Why? It gives birth to other forms of ibadat, fasting. Such a great ibadat. So we should fast on these 10 days. And each fast is equivalent to 1 year. That's one form and one way of ibadat. The other thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, that qiyamu laylatin, to stand up in prayer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand up in worship before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is equivalent to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Laylatul Qadr. That is reading salat. When qiyam comes at night, it can mean reading salat, can mean making tilawat, can mean reading du'as, etc. To spend it in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are two forms that are mentioned here in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions for us a zikr also. Specific zikr. There are specific zikr for specific times and places. Hadith are going to Baytullah, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik. You hear this. Labbaik is what? Answer to that call that Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. And come for Hajj. Labbaik. Oh Allah, we are present. We are coming. We are on our way. And miraculously, when Ibrahim a.s. made the call at the time of building the Kaabatullah, then this sound and the call of Ibrahim a.s. was heard by the people even in the Alami Arwah, in the world of the souls. And the person that said Labbaik is mentioned, in proportion to the time that he replied, he will go to the Baytullah. He said it 10 times, 10 times he will reach Baytullah. He said it 20 times, 20 times he will reach Baytullah. Great lesson here is, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had asked also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it was told to him, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, that announce the pilgrimage to the people. Oh Allah, how would my voice reach the people? There were hardly any people around there in that time, living around. Then one nation came, then another nation came, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam, your job is to proclaim the call, and I will make it reach the people. And it reached the people in the souls of the people. It reached the world of the souls, and the people heard it there and said, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. That is why one of our Akabir mentions, if I am told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to climb up into the skies, who is there that can climb into the skies? People tell me, they don't know where the first sky begins. But he says, what will I do? I will go up onto the highest mountain. And I will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is where I can do. So we are mukallaf to do what is in our means, in our power. One of our Kabirs, when he was in jail, and the day of Friday used to come, is to go and make his ghusl, wear the attire, clean clothes, spark clothes, Friday, wear his itar, etc., and come out of the jail to the gate. They would not allow him. He knew they would not allow him. But this is what he could do. You come till there. So you can tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how far I can get. Not that we don't make any attempts whatsoever. No, we make all the attempts. We make all the attempts and then say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how far I can come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see whether we have the spirit of carrying out the command of Allah. Great lesson in Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam's incident, not going into that now, was that Ibrahim alayhi salam had taken the knife, sharpened the knife, put Ismail alayhi salam down, and he began with all his might to try and cut his throat, slit his throat. So he carried out everything that was humanly possible to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah wished to see from him. And when he carried that out, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam as an animal in place of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Didn't want to see the life, didn't want to take the life of Ismail, to see the spirit of obedience in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did everything humanly possible to take his life. But that wasn't the object. That's why some say it was shown to him in the dream. It was not commanded, do this. Then it would mean Allah Ta'ala told him to do this, and then he told him not to do it. It didn't make it happen. Allah Ta'ala showed him in the dream he's taking his life. And that's what it was. Then it saddaqta ru'ya, the dream came true. Why? In the dream he was taking his life. But Allah Ta'ala did not take away his life. Why? That wasn't the object. Object was to see the spirit of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it meant taking the life of his son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyway, in this ayat we say every day, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, only you do we worship and only you do we ask for assistance and for help. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us some acts of worship in these 10 days. One is fasting, one is to stand in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night. One is a zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the 9 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us though the sequence, the third kalima, but the sequence in some hadiths differs. Subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Some hadiths, this is the sequence. Subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar. And other ulama mentioned, it's the third kalima, it is, the essence is the third kalima, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. In the first 9 days, we should read this, increasingly read this. Make this a special wazifa of the 9 days, or of the 8 days. It's mentioned for the 10 days, but for the 8 days we do this. And on the 9th day, the 9 days has special significance and distinction over the other days, 9th and 10th day. The 9th day is the day of Arafah. Comes in the hadith, Al-Hajju Arafah. What is Hajj? Arafah. To get onto the Maidan of Arafah, that is Hajj. Person reaches Arafah, his Hajj is made. If he doesn't reach Arafah, then he left out the farz of Hajj. Remember many years ago, because of the huge crowds, people could not reach Arafah. And they camped out of Arafah, and they went back home. So the government called for them the next year, because the Hajj was not made. The person reaches Arafah, even if he is unconscious in the Maidan of Arafah, he reaches Arafah, his Hajj is made. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Hajj Arafah, Hajj is what? Arafah. And that is one of the great highlights of Hajj, where you must make a lot of dua Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood there and sat there and stood there and made dua, continuously for about 5 to 6 hours. So the day of Arafah has a special distinction. The greatest amount of mercy, fazl, benevolence, kindness, compassion of Allah descends on the day of Arafah. And countless number of people are forgiven. It's mentioned on the day of Arafah, shaitan is completely, he loses all hope when he sees great, this amount of mercy coming down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some rewrites is mentioned, if a person is there, and if he feels that I am not forgiven, today also I am not forgiven by Allah Pak, he's a great sinner. He has undermined the extent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is so much that everybody is forgiven. So on the day of Arafah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that my dua and the dua, the best dua is the day of Arafah, the dua of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and my dua was the fourth kalima. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. So this is the prescribed wazifa of the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah will be here, our context, next week Sunday. That will be the day of Arafah. So the special wazifa of the day of Arafah is mentioned. The special wazifa of the 9 days before that, the 8 days before that is mentioned to us. Then the wazifa on the 10th day, the takbir starts from the 9th day. It's another special wazifa from Asr of the 9th day till the Fajr of the 13th day. The 23 namazes where we read Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And the background to that also, from all of I have mentioned, is that when Jibreel salatu wasalam came down and Ibrahim salatu wasalam was busy attempting to take the life of his son, according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Jibreel salatu wasalam said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And when Ibrahim salatu wasalam saw him coming down and saying that, he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. And Ismail salatu wasalam, when he saw that, he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And you put all together, in the first takbir, it's mentioned the greatness belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the second one, greatness belongs to Allah, as no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And otherwise, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command we will fulfill. And thirdly, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Greatness belongs to Allah, and all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ransomed him here with an animal and let us still take the life of Ismail salam and brought down a ram that was brought down by Jibreel salatu wasalam. So that is a special wazifa that we read on the 9th, starts on the 9th and finishes off on the 13th. For 23 salats, we read it after every salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. In other words, that which Jibreel salam read, and Ibrahim salam read, and Ismail salam read, we are honored to be reading the same wazifa. We are honored to be reading the same wazifa, the men and the women. Only thing is, this parda, as far as the woman is concerned, they do not read it in a loud voice. Reading it is what? An ibadat. But even that, because of the parda of the woman, she does not read it in a loud voice, and we read it in a loud voice. We need to understand the difference between the male and the female in Islam. There are about 25 to 26 places where Islam has shown the distinction, the differences between them. Beginning right from birth, that's a separate topic, right from birth, where there is akikah made, for the female is one animal, for the male is two animals. There's no equality. And right up to the kafir, people that go, males know, but for the woman folk, there's more clothing put on, 5 clothing put on, and for the men, there's 3 clothing put on. So right from birth, right up to death, and there's so many other occasions in between, where the orders for female is different, and for male is different. And I sometimes joke with the people, even a blind man can see the difference between the female and the male. Our Shaykh Muhammad bin Nur Ramtulay had mentioned, it aurat ki har cheez mein farak hai. Raftar mein, guftar mein, in her walk, in her speech, in her style. Between her and the male and the female, there's a difference. In her walking style, in her speaking style, in her emotions, in her feelings, in her hair, in the biological differences in the body. It's such a difference. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them for different purposes. This was understood even by the kuffar till a few decades ago. Then came this movement, you know, liberating the women, emancipating them, freeing them from the kitchen and making them serve 300 people away on the aeroplane. Freeing them from the kitchen and serving a husband and wife, husband and the children in the cozy place of the home, and working in the bars, and working in the hotels, etc., making them work in slum day. This is the freedom that they gave them. Freeing them from that chastity and purity that they had there, and bring them here in the open Maidan, where hundreds of people, ma'azallah, Allah forbid and save us, are casting evil glances upon them. That's the freedom that the woman got. So much freedom they got, that worse than a commodity. You want to sell tires, there's a picture of a naked woman. You sell a car, there's a picture of a naked woman. There's somebody advertising something, there's a picture of a naked woman. This is the honor and respect that the West has given to them. No honor, no respect, no value, nothing. And we don't understand that. We don't understand. It reminds me, I think it was Colonel Amiruddin. One day he was there with a few women folk, and some women folk went past, and these women folk had hijab and parda. And he said, "What is wrong with this woman? Are they sick?" He stopped them. And he explained to them what Islam teaches about women, how Islam had uplifted the woman, given them esteemed position, which is the daughter so valued by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mentioned, Allah Ta'ala mentioned first in the Quran, daughters. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that woman that gets a daughter, she's got barakat. That person that brings about a girl, doesn't distinguish between the male and females, then she'll become a means of his entry into paradise. She'll become a hijab and veil between him and the fire of Jahannam. Becomes a wife of somebody, then so much rights. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the farewell pilgrimage also has mentioned the rights of woman. How you ought to look after your wife, look after her, do not be cruel to her, address her properly, be kind to her, fulfill her rights, feed her, give her shelter, nafqatu, sukna wa nafqa is the first right she gets. She doesn't have to go out and work, you have to provide for her, you have to give her shelter, you have to provide for her, you have to look after her, don't beat her, you have to beat her also very lightly. Details in the hadith in Quran. She inherits, like men inherits, she also inherits. Even in the West, she should not inherit before. Right of inheritance. She's got equality as far as right of inheritance is concerned. But she's created different for a different person, purpose. She's not equal in that. She's equal in the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat is farz upon her and the men. Hajj is farz upon her and the men. Fasting farz upon her and the men. So equality in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in their roles. They are created differently for different roles. So Islam has taught us how it has honored woman and what respect is given woman. When she becomes a mother, then Jannat lies under her feet. That's the amount of respect we have. When you get her married, after she gets married, if she has to be divorced and comes back to you, then the best of charity of yours is to look after that lady. Look after that girl and provide for her. The best of charity. She becomes an orphan. Then the entire community, she becomes a yatima, entire community, it is their responsibility to look after the child. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says about the orphan, أَنَا وَكَافِ الْيَتِيمْ كَهَاتَيْنِ. Myself and that person that looks after the yatim, who lost one of his parents, we are like this. We are so close to the day of judgment. This is the value Allah Ta'ala has given to yatims and to yatimas. So the rights of woman, no other deen has given rights of women like how Islam has given it. So I was talking about Colonel Aminuddin Saab, so he mentioned to this person details. Our women are not sick, your women are sick. Our women are not sick, our women are pure, upright, chaste. They're full of chastity and purity. I think it is on that occasion that those women that were there, they accepted Islam. When they saw to explain to them the beauty of Islam, they accepted Islam. Some year, when we went to the Free State, they told us some ladies accepted Islam. They got married to some foreigners. And when one woman accepted Islam, the other white woman also accepted Islam. If this is Islam, that we don't have to go out and work, we don't have to spend our money on cosmetics and beautify ourselves, we must stay at home, and the husband provides for us, this is the life that we are looking for. The life of freedom, the life of peace, the life of chastity. the life of sukun, the life of itminan, that you sit in the four walls of the home and you are only reserved for our husbands. Many other white women start accepting Islam. It was in Bloemfontein that we went, one of the alims told us. They start accepting Islam and we showed them Islam. When they see the reality of Islam, then obviously they know what it is. I think it was the Azan, one of the Free State places where there was objection to Azan. Like we find many other places, so they call them. They call the people. I don't know if Bashir Bhai was there or one of them. In the council, they called them and told them, now, tell us, what is this Azan? So one of the brothers gave the Azan. And he explained the Azan. He said, this is what it means and this is what it is. No problem. You can carry on giving the Azan on the mic. What is Azan? You are giving dawah to humanity, to insaniyat, to come towards the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insaniyat, everybody around. Muslim, non-Muslim, yes. It is for a non-Muslim also that you must accept. And if he's got a true, if that person's got, like they say, fitrat salima, sound temperament, that azan will affect him. There was a person staying opposite our masjid. He says, when the azan is to take place, I used to stop my vehicle. I could not continue. I used to stop my vehicle. And eventually that person accepted Islam when he heard the azan. There's a strange incident about the person that had come, I think, from Zambia. Christian person had come and he had gone to a Christian institute and his job was to convert the people towards Christianity. To convert the Muslims to Christianity. Came here for training, don't remember how many years he stayed, and he left. When he left here and he got to Zambia, he came at a period, I think it was time of Zuhar Azan. He heard the Azan and he was overwhelmed with the Azan. He continued and he went. When he got to his place of residence, I think it was the Asr time, and the Azan went of Asr. And he heard the Azan again. And then he continued till it was Maghrib time. I think it was Maghrib time or Isha time. After trading here for 2 or 3 years, he went straight to the place where the Azan was, and he said, make me a Muslim. And he accepted Islam. I was in Zambia mentioning this. Mona Yusuf, who is the principal there of the Darul Uloom, said, yes, I bear witness to this. I met that person, or I verified this with somebody, that by hearing the Azan, this person came back to Islam. So this is the power that we have in our deen. Even the Azan is such so powerful, people listen to the Azan and they come towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why not? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who through an angel that showed one of the sahaba the dream that Azan should be called. This is how the people should be called towards that salat. And look at the beauty of Islam. Whether we go to India, Pakistan, Malazi, Germany, Britain, whatever country you go to, the Azan is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the same everywhere. Whether it's a Japanese giving the Azan, or a Chinese giving the Azan, or an Arabian giving the Azan, it's the same universal Azan given everywhere. So you're talking about Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, only you do we worship and only you do we ask for assistance and help. So we spoke about the acts that Rasulullah s.a.w. told us that from the ninth we say this Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the takbir. And these are the ibadat. And on the tenth, obviously, the sacrifice takes place, the qurbani. There's no other action that is like by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the days of qurbani, like qurbani. Now many people try to apply their logics when it comes to our deen. Our deen is yu'minuna bil ghayb and sami'na wa ata'na. We follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we follow the Quran and the hadith. We do not try and use our faculties of understanding why they are limited. They are limited and they are defective. Sometimes you find a person saying, you know what, you are slaughtering animals, you might as well build somebody a house with that money. Buy a person clothing with that money. Do this with that money. Now we are playing our mind when it comes to the ibadat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says there's no other ibadat that is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the days of qurbani like the spilling of blood. That is what is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the meat. The act of slaughtering is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why you find before the meat in places like Saudi Arabia, etc., there was nobody to eat the meat. Meat was taken away, bulldozed, put away. Why? The act of slaughter. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Slaughtering for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the blood can reach the ground, it's mentioned in some riwayats. We don't ponder on the riwayats. Before the blood can reach the ground, when Quran tells the blood doesn't reach Allah. Blood, لَيْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاءُهَا. The meat and blood doesn't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as such, physically. But it reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as acceptance is concerned. Qubuliyat, before the blood can reach the ground, your sins are forgiven, comes in one riwayat. Now how far is the animal placed from the ground when it's being slaughtered, in our terminology? Arab terminology, especially the camels, etc., they have them in a standing position and they slaughter them by giving, stabbing them here. But the others, our terminology, basically the goats, the sheep, etc., slaughtered when they put onto the ground. How far is the ground from the neck of the animal? Hardly any centimeters. Very, very near. But before it can reach there, it's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the best ibadat in those days. And we are talking about building homes, feeding some people. We do not know our history. This ibadat is a substitute. This slaughter is a substitute for who? Of our children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what He told Ibrahim alayhi salam, slaughter your son. How many of us would have been there prepared to do so? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy, His grace, His kindness towards us, He said, no, you slaughter an animal. Now even for that which is a substitute in reality, we're looking for another substitute. Build homes, buy clothes for people. And when there's a substitute of a substitute, then there's no ending. At least no ending, then the people will say, might as well keep the money, I need it myself, you know. I got a lot of need for this money, might as well not spend it, you see. The substitute will continue. So when there's a substitute, this is the substitute for us. We should be making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I was told to slaughter my son, sitting in the masjid, I don't think I would be able to do it. Maybe some of you could do it. Nobody knows the spirit of adherence to the commands of Allah in anyone's heart except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, slaughter his son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that a substitute. Now that is the best of ibadat in these days. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make qurbani of one or two, 100 camels, because he was the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show to the ummah. The more we have, the more we must make qurbani. Today when it comes of spending in the path of Allah, then our mindset doesn't work properly. Nobody asks normally for that car, this is how much it costs. Should I buy it? No, I think I must buy it. Because nobody's got a car like this one, a Ferrari or whatever. I must buy it, you know. It's only, this is now limited, what they call it, limited edition. You know, limited edition. Everything is limited in the dunya, our life also is limited. Limited edition, I must buy it. I must be one of those that have this. Nobody questions. But when it comes to, oh, now can you help this person with zakat money? I normally look at the person who's asking the question. And I tell him, gee, and you can help with lillah also. Understand? Can you help this person with zakat? Say, I can help with lillah also. You know, you only want to use the zakat which you have to use for that person. What about the tons of lillah that you have? What are you going to use that for? Only for your house, only for your car. So you're making one animal, you're sacrificing one animal. Allah Ta'ala has given you, sacrifice 10, sacrifice 20, sacrifice 30. Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sacrificed 100. If you have the wealth, why not? There's one person I know. He says, Mawana, our lillah, our zakat is equivalent to our lillah. If you're giving 5 million zakat, you give 5 million lillah. And that's the person that had lost all his wealth once upon a time. But this is the spirit now. When Allah has given him wealth, he says, my lillah is as much as my zakat. My lillah is as much as my zakat. Zakat is 5 million, my lillah is also 5 million. This must be the spirit, because you're doing it for who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah ta'ala sees that, Allah ta'ala increases. There's nothing lacking and nothing short in Allah Pak's treasure. So when it comes to qurbani also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought of us also making qurbani. This is for my ummah, and this is for me, and this is for my ummah. Some riwayat mentions for those that cannot afford. And we should make qurbani for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, especially when we have the wealth. But Ali radiallahu anhu made. And he said, Rasulullah told me to make qurbani on behalf of him. That's why I'm making qurbani. Rasulullah is not in need of it. But we are in need. People make hajj on behalf of Rasulullah. Rasulullah is not in need of it. We are in need. If one person comes in the riwayat of the Shaykh writes in tribal hajj, Ibn Muwaffaq, I think it was, that he made hajj. Rasulullah saw him on the day and asked him, you made hajj on my behalf? He said, yes. And he said, you said labbaik on my behalf? He said, yes. said, on the day of judgment, I will hold your hand and take you to Jannah. Who doesn't want that? You are Rasulullah SAW giving that tarikh to the person who made hajj on my behalf, he says, I'll do for you. We read Durood Sharif upon Rasulullah SAW, some riwayat mention, person will come when his deeds will be put on the scales and he'll be running short. One person will come with a small piece of paper and put it back. He'll put it on that and his scales will become heavy. The person will turn and say, who are you? Rasulullah SAW will say, I am your Rasul. And this is the durood that you have read upon me. I'm paying it back to you, I'm giving it to you. And by putting it on the scales become heavy. So we are in need. Even if we do something and we send the sawab to Rasulullah SAW, we are in need. And we'll gain the favor of Rasulullah SAW, his kindness, etc., from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So on the 10th, 7th, 12th, we make qurbani. The laws of qurbani, the ulama must have already mentioned in great detail about how the animal should be, how big it should be, etc., and how it should be carried out, what the meat should be, what you should do with the meat, etc., partake of the meat, what is the times of qurbani. So we should try and follow all the etiquettes and sunnahs of the qurbani. And how nice it was when our fathers and grandfathers used to buy the animal 1 week, 2 weeks beforehand. We used to stay in a small little town. Remember, our job was to go in the evening, untie the animal, bring it and put it in the garage or wherever it should stay for the night. Next morning, take it back there. There weren't so many thieves also to steal the animal. And they should eat of the grass. Did you feed the animal? Pani dala apne. Did your grandfather say, did you give the water to the animal? Yes, you gave it. Concerned about the animal. Some of our kabir, I think for 1 month, some of our kabir ulama, for 1 month they used to look after that animal. And when they used to slaughter that animal, they used to cry. They used to become so attached to that animal. They used to cry. And thereafter slaughter it in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make qurbani of that animal. I remember when we were young, there was a small little sheep that was brought up by one family. Sheep was trained up like a dog. Somebody goes past, he says, attack. He should come with his horns. When they slaughtered that for qurbani, the children never ate the meat. They were so attached to that animal. And this is what is wanted in Islam, that we spend those things that we get attached to in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these were the ibadahs that were here that are mentioned for the 10 days. But ibadat has a much greater meaning, which I wanted to speak about. InshaAllah, some other occasion we speak about where Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that the word ibadat entails 10 type of actions. 10 type. Rasulullah SAW mentioned the ibadat that are specific to these days. It's 10 days. And as I mentioned, that is roza, spending the night in ibadat, making the zikr of the third kalima, making the zikr of the fourth kalima. Similarly to fast, and obviously the fast of the day of Arafat is more virtuous than the fast of other days. In other words, Rasulullah SAW says, I have hope in Allah that it will become a means of forgiveness of the past year and forgiveness of the future year that's coming, the sins. I was in Zambia once, and I think one of our Kabir ulama had mentioned also, obviously everything is in the control of Allah Pak. But he mentioned that in the light of this hadith, come to understand, if a person fasts on that day, inshallah he will live for another year. Because his sins of the future year will be forgiven. So there was one of my friends, his father felt very sick. He said, I got 100% yakin. I think Sheikh Zakaria or someone has written that he will live. Inshallah he won't pass away. And he survived. He had so much yakin that the sins of the future year will also be forgiven. So this is the fazl and speciality of this ummah. That one day's fast, 2 years sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the special zikr of that day is also mentioned. The takbirah also mentioned that we read and we continue reading also. And read in the day of Eid also. And then the qurbani that takes place, we do it ourselves. And should try and see that we carry it out like how it was carried out in the time of Rasulullah SAW. All the etiquettes, all the sunnah, all the du'as, etc. And after doing all that, then we make du'a to Allah ta'ala for acceptance. Not that we go around boasting. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is the Khalilullah. He is with the Amrullah. He is making tamir of the Baytullah. But after that, also what he does? Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Oh Allah, accept from me. For those people that know Arabic, taqabbal is from the verb of tafa'ul. which means our Shaykh has already mentioned this, which means takalluf ke saath accept it. Oh Allah, it's not worthy of acceptance, but you accept it from me. Rabbana taqabbal minna indaka anta samiul alim. Specification shown by who? Wa iz bawwa'na Ibrahim makan al bayt. We had shown Ibrahim as-salam where it is, how it is. Specifications, Ibrahim as-salam had come and showed him. He carries it out there according to the specification shown to him. But after that also, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Who can match the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who can match the greatness and grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No human being. We are all humans. So Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. You can hear and you know. You can hear our pleas, our du'as, and you know exactly what we have in our hearts. Wa arina manasikana tub alayna. Oh Allah, show us our ibadat. Here also the ulama kiram mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't worship Allah ta'ala the way he wants, and then he says Allah is ghafurur rahim. Arina manasikana. Arina manasikana. Show us the ways of ibadat, the ibadats of Hajj. Show us how we should worship you, how we should make tawaf, how we should do this. Wa tub alayna. And thereafter forgive us, O Allah, in case we falter, we can't fulfill it. This is how the spirit should be. That you do everything possible, like it is shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then beg for acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah.